Kids and hands are getting shot and stuff and how, you know, people always say, why the Lord let that happen? And I read a lot of stuff about it on Facebook and people's comments and some terrible things or accusations toward the Lord. And, you know, there are a lot of Christians that said, you know, we kicked the Lord out of school. And even Christians, you know, a lot of people were talking about how when we break that hedge of protection. And I was telling the thing, like, it's kind of like your parents, you know. You're under their protection, you do what they say, but when you disobey them, you get out there and you're not listening.
That's right.
You're out of that hedge, and that's how Christians have done with the Lord. You're out of that hedge, and the serpent comes, and you get bit. And, you know, people only want the Lord when it's convenient for them. And then they want to blame the Lord for everything bad that happens, but we are going to say a wall of prayer just because we really, really need that. We need prayer. Our country needs the Lord.
I wonder if we can do something. I'd like to do something. Since you know, I was thinking about it and I put it on my mind, I was thinking about it. I wonder if we could have our kids, all the kids that go to school.
Yes, sir.
If you would, why don't y'all just come up here and stand across the front?
That's good.
Let's stand up here. And I've never done this before like this for all of you. Every one of you, come on. If you go to school, come up here and stand across the front. Start right over there, girls. Where you at? Just line up across the front. Y'all stay right over there, down on the floor. Down on the floor, just line up all the way across into that end over there, Carrie. Come on, all of you, if you go to school tomorrow. This is just a regular. Come on, y'all, over this way. Over this way. There you go. Come on over here, y'all. That's good. If you're going to school tomorrow, come up here and stand. You know what? I mean, it's Carrie, little Kerrigan's in kindergarten. And that was her age class.
Yes.
That guy went in there and shot them kids over there. Kerrigan. Who in here is in kindergarten? Anybody here in kindergarten? First grade. These boys right here, that age right there. Somebody sent me a picture of them on my phone. And you think about that. That could have been our kids. But God's protected them. God's protected our kids. You say, it couldn't happen here, preacher. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all go to school, don't you? You just done graduated? Well, that's okay. That's school too. Come on. All the kids go to school. So sad. And you know what? I told Carrie the other day when I said, grab her and hug her. I did. I said, grab her and hug her.
Yes.
Hug them every day, y'all. You better hug them every day. They're growing up in a different world than we came up in. Telling you that we're growing up in a different world. I'm gonna preach about it in a few minutes. This world's gone the wrong way, 90 miles an hour. Just here in Morganton, had a man murdered the other day. Guy from Marion murdered a guy in Morganton. And there's so many drugs and so many people on pills, and you mix that with demonic spirits, you got a violent world. Violent. And I'll tell you why they sing this song. I want you to look at these kids. Every one of them is precious to the Lord. Every one of them. And let's thank God that it wasn't our kids. I'm not saying I'm glad it's theirs. I'm saying just thank God he's protected ours. Let's build a wall of prayer around them. Go ahead.
There are walls made by
Let's pray God will protect them. Keep his hands on them. You want to come? We'll just make an altar out of these roads right here. Come on, let's pray. a wall around them. Let's make an altar here tonight. Let's pray tonight. We got a gang of kids here that we ought to thank God for. I'm telling you, to me, the most precious little group of kids I know of are Shining Light kids. They're special. They're special. They're not a bunch of little sissies. They're some rough old boys, and I mean, little young ladies that love the Lord, and I mean, they're not fake. I mean, what you see is what you get. And I'm telling you what, we thank God for our kids. You know, in a few years, in about 5 years, we're going to have a whole group of teenagers coming up here in our church that's been raised up here. And how wonderful that'll be. That'll be so good. I'm looking forward to it. And my heart goes out for them people up there in Connecticut. My. What's so bad is the ones that don't have the Lord. Think about that. Think about something like that happening and you don't even know God and don't even know why it happened. If you know God, you know why. And I'm going to tell you that tonight. Let's take our Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight. And I want you to imagine we're in a camp meeting, a year of a revival meeting. And I'm just a guest preacher. Forget I'm Brother Danny for a minute. And listen to these words that I have from the Word of God. You might need to get me up just a time. I might have screamed my throat out here a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I want to show you a verse of Scripture here tonight. I finished my Old Testament this morning, finished my Bible. I've read my New Testament twice and my Old Testament once, as I do every year, and have for many, many years. I hope you finished your Bible this year. And if you didn't, you'll start January 1st and get that thing read next year. I never have enjoyed the Old Testament prophets more than I have this year. Habakkuk, Joel, Amos, and Obadiah, and Haggai, Malachi, and Zechariah, those books like that. Unbelievable. Every one of them has got special things in it to help a child of God. So go through your Bible in 2013 and quote Scripture around your kids. Put it in their heart. The Bible is what will get the job done. Quote, put it up on plaques in your house. You've been to my house. You see what's over my fireplace. My favorite verse of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Put it into their hearts. Put the Word of God in their hearts. And if they're ever faced with a tragedy, let them, they'll come back to them. It'll come back to them. And they can face whatever they have to. Now, why do things like happened this week? I want to preach this evening on how to behave in perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. The things that are going on in this world shouldn't surprise us. God said that it would happen. I don't know where people get the idea that the world's going to get better. We're going to elect the right politicians and we're going to have peace on earth. There ain't going to be no peace on this earth till the Prince of Peace comes and makes it. And until then, brother, here's the way it's going to go right here. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous, there's an interesting word. There'd be the closest word you could get to it in your mind would be dangerous. Dangerous times shall come. Ladies and gentlemen, I heard Ed McAdee say, he said when he first started preaching, he preached perilous times shall come. He said, I no longer preach perilous times shall come. He said, perilous times are here. Ain't no perilous times shall come. Perilous times are here. We used to live in a country right here around these mountains and foothills where people didn't even have to lock their doors. You could leave your keys in your car when we were growing up. Nobody didn't want it. Amen? It ain't that way now. You have to double lock, pray, do everything, install security system. Like somebody said, all the lock on the door it does is keep an honest man out. I mean, man wants in bad enough, he can get in. And tonight, we're living in perilous times. Now let's describe these times. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, that's the truth. That right there makes everything else happen. When men are lovers of their own selves, all these other things take place. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You can preach on all these. Without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That's an interesting word. What does that word incontinent mean? Do you know that? You study the Bible? Look at the dictionary. It means never being able to be satisfied. No control. No self-control. No be able to resist. I mean, not incontinent. Never satisfied and never being able to have enough. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's why you can see thousands at a football game on the weekend and just a handful in the average church. Traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. That means you're not supposed to go to a church that only has a form of God. What's a form of godliness? Ladies, when you go to make a dress, you lay down a pattern on a piece of cloth. You cut with the scissors around that pattern. That's not a dress. That's a form of a dress. A pattern. That's why you have a lot of religious crowds today. You have a building, a steeple, a choir loft, a pulpit, but it's just a form of godliness. Ritual. Going through the motions. He said, from such turn away. Now, look here. For this sort are they which creep in the houses. Bunch of creeps. You know how they do it? Through TV and radio. Through the eyes, through the ears. The devil comes into your house through the television and through your radio. And now, of course, the internet. Amen? Now, I hadn't seen all the stuff they put on the internet. My computer had been tore up about 3 months. I ain't fooled with it. And I hadn't seen a thing, what they got on there. But everybody's saying that there's a lot of stuff on the internet about what's happening and fussing and all, this, that, and the other. But look here. For they lead captive silly women laden with sins. That's the women that sit around every morning and watch The View. They're silly, and the devil comes in, and they're laden with sin, and the devil tricks them and puts his false doctrine into their minds. Silly. Led away with divers lust. The last people we need instructing us on how to run the world is Whoopi Goldberg and what's her name? That old ancient woman. Living dinosaurs is here. Whatever her name is. Listen, brother, they're the last people that needs to be telling us how we're to run this world. Amen? How people like that get on TV, I'll never know. Like some of them TV preachers. I was preaching on TV the other day, and I think, how in the world? Who's paying for that? I mean, how can a man like that? It's terrible. It's awful. I mean, every one of our Sunday school teachers could have done a better job than that guy did. But Jason, they've got preach circles around that. How's a nut like that get on TV? I don't know. But I'm telling you, that's what it said. They creep in the houses. Verse 7, ever learning. That's what they ought to put on the front door of Harvard. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wouldn't that be a good verse to put at Yale and Princeton and NC State and Chapel Hill? Right on the front door, kids. Come on in. We're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I know that rubs some people the wrong way. I'm telling you, like the old preacher said, if that rubs the cat's fur the wrong way, turn the cat around. Say amen right there. I'm telling you this truth right here, saying this blessed world's on fire. Look here what he said. I don't have time to read it all. Let's skip on down there to verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you ain't being persecuted, you are not living right. Verse 13. Notice the 13s. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, what are me and you going to do? But continue thou. This is what I'm planning on doing. In the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. What God's told us in the light, we're not going to doubt in the dark. What we've been assured of all these years, what God done for me when I was 18 years old, what He's done for me down through the years, I'm supposed to continue in that, what I know and have been assured of. I'm not supposed to wiggle and vary and get off the track and start believing some other belief or doctrine. I'm supposed to stay right down the middle of the road that God put us out here in this book. Say amen right there.
Now listen, and the Bible said, continue in those things, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And don't ever doubt your book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What are we going to do in perilous times? Well, I'm going to say just a thing or two tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I told you this morning about that 16-year-old girl down in Florida. They found her just this week, had hung herself because her friends got on Nosebook and was saying bad things about her. She started taking it so serious, she literally took her own life. There's about five of them in that one area that's done this in the last few weeks. Teenagers saying, I don't want to live no more. My friends think I'm awful. They put bad things about me on the internet. I want to just die and hang herself and die. Isn't that terrible? Just this week, lady over here showed me out in Texas, just this week, Wednesday, you know, because this Friday's supposed to be the end of the world. This past, you don't think we're living in perilous time. This past Wednesday, a man in Texas took his little six-year-old boy. He held that six-year-old boy down and took a box cutter with a razor blade in it and held that little boy down and carved a satanic pentagram, a big one, on that little boy's back. And he held that child down with his mama calling 911, and you could hear her screaming, he's hurting my child, he's hurting my child. That just happened this week. And when the cops got there, they arrested this man, and he told them he was doing it in honor of the Holy Day. 12, 12, 12. 6 years old, carved a pentagram on his back. Where do you think that comes from? You know what pentagrams are used for? That's where Stevie Nicks stands, in the center of a pentagram, because they believe that power from hell comes up through the center of that pentagram. No, it was not because of a holy day, ladies and gentlemen. It was a demonic spirit that made that thing. Now, you hear me say this, and some of y'all think I'm a little bit over-dramatic with it, but brother, we are living in a time when people are controlled by demonic spirit and powers from hell, just as sure as your name's what it is. Amen. I guarantee you, you have no idea how bad that it is. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me tonight. It's pitiful the shape that this world's in. It's pitiful. What do you look at? Crystal was telling me this morning, one of our bus kids that was here this morning, bus workers, listen to me. Everybody that gives, you know why I make such a big deal of the bus ministry? You know why we have such a great bus ministry here at our church? Because I push it and preach it and push it and preach it and push it and preach it. And you know why? There's a little girl this morning here, right? You know what she said before she left today? She was sad. Crystal went over there and said, honey, is something bothering you? She said, yeah. She said, me and mama don't have no place to live. We have nowhere to go. They've been kicked out just this morning right here in our church. And if you think for 1 minute that the devil just is through because of what happened in Connecticut, you got another thing coming. He's evil. He's wicked. He hates them all. He hates his gang of kids up here. He hates them kids with a passion. The devil hates your child. The devil hates my kids. He hates his grandchildren. He hates them. You know what the devil wants in here tonight? He wants these little boys and little girls. He wants to corrupt their minds. He wants to get them in every sin imaginable, every kind of old ungodly, wicked thing. The devil wants them to get on the internet and see wickedness and filth and see scary movies and dirty, nasty stuff to corrupt their minds before they're old enough to make a good decision. I'm telling you tonight, we are living in those last days, and you hear me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's a bad time. Now, as far as this thing that happened in this week, as far as this shooting, I'm not going to give you all my opinion tonight, but I'm going to tell you something, brother. Every time they start thinking the world's getting better, something like that happens. Every time. And it ain't getting better. Every time they say, peace is here, the world's going great now, bang, something worse happens. You say, preacher, couldn't that have been avoided? Only if that boy had been in a good Bible preaching church and went to church every Sunday and served God, it would have. Get on TV and say that, and they'll cut you off in 30 seconds. We're trying to moralize people. We're trying to get people to be civil and do right and treat each other right without God, and it's impossible because their nature is against God. That's why you go to church, to get preached at, to keep you straight. You know, the less you go to church, the meaner and more wicked and backslid you get. The more you go to church, it keeps you in line. It keeps you in line. That's what preaching does. It keeps you in line. I listened to preaching all week. I went to sleep just about every night this week, listening to preaching on a little CD player. I put it right here beside my bed, and I look at it, and I listen to that preacher until he preaches me to sleep, amen, like many of you do. And brother, I'll tell you what, it's a bad thing. Now listen, what happened this week shows the depravity of the human heart. And my middle daughter, Carissa, she's a pretty smart girl. And you know what she said the other day? She said, if we all give up our guns, that nothing like this wouldn't happen ever anymore, I'd be willing to give mine up. And that's true. If we thought that everybody giving up their guns would stop anything bad from happening, I'd be willing to. But it won't. And if they did have ever gun, they'd do something else. That book says it's going to get worse and worse till the Lord comes back. Amen? I'll tell you what's going to have to happen. You're going to hear it debated back and forth, back and forth. That old guy on CNN the other night, he kept on and on and on and on. That guy from Britain, that Pierce Morgan guy. Man, oh, Lord. He got on there and he said, oh, when are you guys going to get it? And I ain't got no British accent, and thank God I don't. And he said, when are you guys going to get it? That you just, guns is the problem, guns are the problem. I wanted to say, go back to England, dude, if you don't like it here in America. I'm for some gun laws. I am. I don't think anybody ought to just be able to have guns out here. And I got my own opinions about them assault rifles. I don't think a citizen has no business with something like that. That's my opinion. You can believe whatever you want to. But I'm telling you, if you take an average citizen don't have, if you just had a six shooter, he had only fired six times, and if they'd have had some kind of protection, they could have stopped him before he done all that. So what's going to happen? They're going to have to put armed guards in our schools and lock them down like there's prisons. That's where we're headed in this country. It's getting worse. I'm not happy about that. I wish it wasn't having to be that way. It's awful. I hate it. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, is it going to get to the place where you can't even go to a restaurant? Is it going to get to the place where it's going to happen in church? Yes, it sure is. It'll start happening in churches. There was a case in Florida. I hate to tell you this. Where some masked men come in, held the whole congregation at bay with assault rifles, and raped an 80-year-old woman in front of the congregation and stole the money. Now listen, quote, stop, pause, this is a commercial. If anybody ever comes in here trying to cause trouble, I hope that we've got enough red-blooded, redneck men in here to take them down before they can get all of us. Amen, fellas? That's right. And I don't believe men get too far in here. Surely y'all wouldn't wimp out on us. I mean, several of them could take down a man before he got us all. Amen? You say, preacher, you're talking all... Well, I can't help it. That's the world we're living in right now. You heard Brother Gene here the other night say they have to lock the doors of their church. And you think, well, that's a little extreme. Maybe it is. But when something happens, then we'll say, well, maybe it ain't extreme. I'm telling you tonight, it's perilous, perilous time. How are we supposed to live during these perilous times. Lord have mercy. I tell you what,
I don't know this to be a fact. Somebody can check it on the internet. I don't have a computer right now. I heard that somebody sent me a text from Florida the other day, said they're now printing a gay and lesbian version of the Bible, calling it the Queen James Version. I like that. I like that. You know what I think? I think the devil's working overtime and God's people's asleep at the house of God, and we're mad about this and our feelings are hurt about that and we don't like this. We better get on the ball, lock arm in arm, fight the battle, and keep the devil off our kids right here at Shining Light Baptist Church. Pray a wall of prayer around them, brother. Let me just say a couple things and I'm done. I'm done. I ain't going to say a whole lot tonight. First of all, we need to stick together. Ain't nobody perfect. We need to fight. We're supposed to be on the same team. I guess I'm on the internet right now, and I don't want y'all to know nobody get mad or nothing. But we play ball. Are you too cool in here now? See, it's covering up. See how y'all are? How would you like to try to please a crowd like this? It's 70 up here, so it's about 68 down there. It's healthy for you. Germs can't live when it's real cold. That's right. You ever seen these people keep the house hot all the time? Everyone stays sick. Kids stay sick and get the house hot. But what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. We play ball in Marion, and we was up there and we play ball and have about 12 guys, and we choose up and play. All my life, when you play sport, right, you choose up and play. That's the only way to do it when you got a bunch of guys around like that. And, you know, those mostly are men from 20 years and up. I, by far, am the oldest one beside Wesley's dad, Alan, and the rest of them in their 20s and maybe early 30s, and we play basketball, and we choose up. We had a guy come and play ball, We was up there for about a year, probably on Tuesday night when I'm not preaching. And this was a professional man, a career man. Big shot. Big shot. It came to pass that one Tuesday night we was up there playing, and we chose up. He didn't get chose. There was two extra. Five guys play, two extra. And you know what that guy did? He got mad and left and has not been back since. Just because he didn't get chose. A grown man running a business and got mad because he didn't get chose. His little pride was hurt. Now, that's what preachers have to deal with. Big old babies like that. I've never seen a time when people were such big babies. If every little thing don't go just like they want it, Lord have mercy. You know what I was taught when I was growing up? If I didn't get chose, and there's a lot of times I didn't get chose. I'd be standing around out there at Nebo School, and I'd be doing like this, and they'd look right over me and pick big guy up here. And you know what I thought? I thought, all right, when you guys leave, I'm going to get my ball, and I'm going to bounce it till I can't see the sunshine no more. And bless God, and the day didn't come when I looked over them and didn't choose them. I always thought if you don't get chose, practice. Yeah. I didn't think my ball got hand in it. That's our generation. Our generation is the biggest bunch of quitters, the biggest bunch of babies. Lord, I wouldn't coach one of them NBA teams. I don't even see why they have a coach. They got the players out there, the big shot players, if you know what I mean, telling the other guys what to do. Listen, brother, when I played ball, our coach told us what to do. We couldn't get out there and coach each other. You say, well, he's the leader of the team. He ain't the leader of the team. He's a player like anybody else. The coach is the leader of the team. And, brother, it's the same as spirit has crept into churches where if every little thing don't go like I want, I'll just quit. You know what we better do? We better realize the devil's out there. He wants these kids. We better lock arm in arm and fight that devil together. We can't always see eye to eye, but we can lock arm in arm and fight the enemy out there. You know what we need to do? Sunday school teachers, I challenge you. If I was a Sunday school teacher, I teach occasionally, and I have been a Sunday school teacher. If I was a Sunday school teacher, I would make it my priority to build my class.
I'd visit one night a week. I'd call them. I'd say, I missed you. Let's get them in there. You say, well, how these bunch of devils won't come. It's your job to make them want to come. Bus route, same way. You think I get people to come? I make them want to. How do I make them want to? Fast, pray, beg. Fast, pray, beg. I ain't special. They don't owe it to me to come to this church. We've got to give them something that'll make them hungry. They want to come and get something from God. Bus workers, your bus route's down, fast and pray and knock on double doors till it gets back up. Till it gets back up. Amen. Man, not going to play ball because he didn't get chose. That's a spoiled generation who's never been told no and always expecting to get whatever they want. And they're a big shot. No, that ain't the way it's supposed to work. Well, we ought to work together. We ought to give. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to keep what he cannot lose. 30% of all church members carries 80% of the burden financially for any church. We have 350 people here on Sunday morning. Probably over 200 of them's kids. When you count the bus kids and our kids, maybe more than that. That leaves 50 visitors and 100 of us that are paying the bills. If you're skipping out on God and not giving your tithes and you're holding back, listen, you ain't cheating nobody but yourself. The Lord will bless you if you'll pay those tithes. He'll bless you. You will not regret it. You say, Brother Danny, I just can't afford it. Well, that's why you can't. You honor God, put Him first. Mark it down, brother. Mark it down. God said, I'll pour out the window, open the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. Sure He will. God don't lie. How are you going to trust God to take you out of here in the rapture and can't even help you live now on 90% of your income? Amen? We're to give. 30% of the members carries 80% of the burden. We ought to take responsibility. Let me ask you a question tonight and I'm through. Is God moving in your home? I got so mad the other day. I know this on the internet, and I probably shouldn't be naming names like I did there a minute ago, but good night. They may come with quit this internet stuff. It ain't really none of the world's business what we do in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night. If they want to know what I'm saying, they should come. But if we do it for shut-ins and people like that, there's people all over the country watches this, but there's always some idiot out there trying to pick out little words that a preacher said try to get you in trouble. And it's coming eventually. It's coming eventually. The day's going to come when you say anything against certain lifestyle or anything, you're going to be charged with a crime if the Lord don't come. It's coming. It's coming. It's already here in certain places. I've listened to Jack Hiles preach ever since I've been saved, right, a little shortly thereafter. God has used Jack Hiles to inspire more people to be soul winners than any man that's lived in our generation. He's dead and gone now. I know he's not perfect. I don't worship him. I don't necessarily go along with everything he said. I'm telling you, he's God's man. And I'm getting hit a lot. A lot of people have asked me. One of his daughters has now come out and put a thing on YouTube just blessed saying he was a hypocrite and a liar. And we've had people, one man here in our church said, you see that about Hiles on that? And you know what I got to say about that? Two things. Number one, Jack Hiles may have made some mistakes. I don't know if he did or he didn't. He may have done something bad. I don't know if he did or he didn't. And I've got another thing to say. His backslid daughter ought to get in an altar somewhere and get right with God and go get her a bus route in a good Bible-believing church, start winning souls instead of tying her daddy's ministry down. If you don't agree with that, you're full of the devil yourself. There's something wrong with people saying, oh, I heard this about this preacher, so we don't have to listen to that no more. Well, I heard this about this preacher, so we don't have... Listen, there's things on there about Dr. Ruckman. They said they support pedophiles. They said on the internet, on the YouTube, said his assistant pastor was in a bar drunk without his wedding band on, and they took pictures, trying to take pictures, or trying to catch it. Listen, how many of you men in here that are married don't have on a wedding band? Raise your hand, please. There's one, two, three, four. That don't mean nothing. Oh, he didn't have his wedding band on. He's out there with a whore. No, he wasn't. I can't believe how wicked the people that do stuff like that are just backslid and don't want to do nothing for God. Somebody's so low down that they'll get on it. Listen, my girls, they know me. They know me. They know I ain't perfect. But I'll tell you something else. They know I'm real, too. Jack Hyde was real. He wasn't perfect, but he's real. And men in the Bible wasn't perfect. Some of the men in the Bible done some of the most terrible things a person can imagine, but they was God's men. You know what our problem is? We got to fight the world and the devil and 90% of church people. We're crazy. We shoot our own people. We're killing our own wounded. He said, well, I know somebody says something about something. Ask them. Have they been out on visitation lately, keeping somebody out of hell? That's the last thing I'm going to say tonight. The last thing I'm going to say is, you know what you need to do with your life? You need to get on the ball and take as many people out of here to heaven with you as you can possibly round up. That's what you need to do. I went and visited a man the other day that had a heart attack. Back a couple months ago, and I sat in there talking to him yesterday on visitation. And I visited with these folks right here for a little while. Y'all ought to get to know these folks. They're precious folks right here. Amen. The Lord sent them to us. Amen. And I visited them for a little while, and then I went and visited a man that had a heart attack. And you know what he told me? He said, I thought I was dying. But he said, for some reason I didn't. He said, I guess there's a reason for me being here. I wish I knew what it was. I said, I can tell you what it is. Take as many people out of this world of heaven with you as you can possibly take. What else can you do any greater than grab a bunch of people and get them saved? When somebody comes to the altar, run up here and take your Bible and say, look, let's get them in. Let's get them in. As many as we can get. You ain't perfect. I ain't either. Let's go soul winning. Amen, people. The ship is sinking. This thing going down. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Lady told me this week, a Christian lady. I was talking about her. She's talking about me. She's asked me how things going. I said, pretty good. I'm doing fine. God's blessing the church. And I said, I don't, everything ain't great. I fight battles. And you know what she done? She said, Danny. She looked at me and she said, Danny, the main thing is that you're happy. I said, well, whatever, I'll see you later. That's a stupid thing to say. The main thing is not that you're happy. Are you crazy or something? Are you mentally off? Where in the world are you reading the Bible where God, the main thing in the world is for you to be happy? That's what's wrong with our generation. There ain't the whole world about that. As long as I'm happy, heck with everybody else. Heck is a Greek word that means phuion. Shouldn't have said that. That's what it means. Listen, the main thing in this world, here's the Titanic going down. People are falling in the water. Lifeboats are going sideways. Little kids are screaming, going down. And the captain said, really, the main thing is that I'm happy. Well, that's stupid. Listen, brother, I fasted this week. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I've done a lot of food. I beg God. You know what? It ain't, the main thing in the world ain't that Danny's happy. The main thing in the world is, I'm saved. The ship's going down. Let's get some taken wise out of here. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. I want to take some people with me. I'm not saying it's wrong to be happy and enjoy life. We cut up, we sing songs. Thank God we can be happy. But that ain't the main goal in life, is being happy.
The main goal in life is for you to get somebody and take them to heaven with you.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yep.
Bus workers. Junior church workers. The main purpose is to take them to heaven with us when they die. That's right. How are we going to behave in perilous times? We're going to try to get as many as we can saved and take them out of here. That's right. In these last days, let's stand with our heads bowed.